This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, I'm going to finish up this Mishnah. Okay. Okay, the Mishnah, let me just say the Mishnah again. Mishnah Ches, in most of the Mishnahs, this one is Yud. I split them up differently. Rav Dostai Bar Yanai Omer Mishum Rav Meir, or Mishum Rav Meir Omer, Kol HaShocheach Dover Echad Ni Mishnaso, Ma'al Olov HaKosu Kilu Mishai Benafsho. Somebody who forgets even one thing from his learning is liable for his life. Shenema Raki Shomer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od Pentishkach HaSadvorim Asheru Einecha. Be very careful with your life that you don't forget what you saw at Har Sinai, meaning the Torah. Yochel Afilu Tokfala Mishnaso. I might think that it's even if it happened not because he caused it. But we learned last week a few different pshatim in Tokfala Mishnaso, either that the material was very hard and complicated and he never really grasped it and therefore he never really had it to forget, or he got sick or old and his memory was failing him. Talmud Lomar, that's not included. Pen Yosuru Milvavcha Kol Yemei Chayecha. It has to be that you take it out of your heart. You do something to cause your forgetting. And what can that be? We'll see in a few seconds. Until you consciously do something to forget it. Okay, we'll start with that. First of all, forgetting doesn't mean that you forgot the thing completely. But it can also mean that it doesn't make an impression on you. Where do we see that? I heard this once at a convention from some Ger Chosid. I don't remember, it was a Mashgiach in some Kollel or something. I don't remember who it was. But he said the following. I don't know if he said it in his own name or somebody else's name, but that's where I heard it. He said, it says by Yaakov, that Rivka tells him, I want to send you to Lavan until Esau forgets what you did to him. Now, do you think Esau would forget what happened, that his brachas were taken away till the day he died? Of course not. You see from there that shikha doesn't mean you forget it completely, but it means that it becomes so dim in your mind that you're not going to take any action because of it. That's also called forgetting. Okay. So therefore, how do you cause forgetting? First thing is you don't review it. If you don't review what you learn, you'll inevitably forget it. Right? Torah is compared to glass utensils that are very fragile. And if you let them go for a second, they break. Same thing, if you don't constantly review your learning and hold on to it, it's going to be taken away from you. Another idea is, in what it means to forget, is not to internalize it. If the Torah remains something external, just an idea, but it doesn't become part of you, then it's forgotten. It's easier to forget completely, and surely that it becomes something that you don't take action on because it's not part of you. Okay, another idea is, which we'll get to in a second, that how you learn it to begin with. Right, how important it is to you, how much of an impression it made on you to begin with. Things that make an impression, you remember all the time. Things that never made an impression, you don't remember. Okay. Another thing is, and I forgot to bring this safer, is not to do things that are promote forgetting. The things that the Gemara says a person shouldn't do because they promote a person's forgetting. Eating something that a mouse took a bite out of. It's kosher l'shikcha. And there's a whole list of things that are kosher l'shikcha. Can't think of them now. I mean, we'll have to.
The end of a loaf.
That's a boba maisa. What?
Were you clothes inside out?
Right, putting on clothing or putting on two pieces of clothing at the same time. But next week, Amir Sashem, I'll bring the sefer, Bali Neder.
A man walking between two women?
That also, yeah, yes. Or even a woman walking between two men. Also the same thing. But, okay, I'm going to try to bring the list tomorrow. Next week, I mean. There's a question, though, if women, those things women shouldn't do. Because the whole main reason is, so what if you forget? A lot of things in this world you should forget. So what's so terrible? Because you're not allowed to forget your learning. But a woman has no chiyuv to learn. So she has no issue of forgetting. So maybe by a woman, she can do these things. No problem. We'll see in a second another idea in this pasuk that applies to women, too. Okay. Another thing is that how you learn it to begin with, how much it becomes part of you, is if you learn it in purity. Okay, you don't touch parts of your body that you have to wash because of, and you're pure when you learn it, and you learn it and you're not haughty about it. Torah stays by people who are humble. Torah is like water. It flows to the lowest place. Doesn't flow up. Flows down. Some say that this whole Mishnah is only applies when the Torah was learned orally. And then it was an inyan not to forget. But today, the oral Torah, for all practical purposes, is written down. And therefore, you can always open a book and remember. So this is not as serious. Then you're not mischayeb nafsho. You're not over a lav of forgetting your Torah, because it's not only committed to memory. It's already written down.
But that should then not count for chidushim.
Right, right. Okay, I guess we'll see in a second. But another idea is that even though it's written down, you may not forget it completely, but if you never really learned it in the way that it becomes part of you, then even written down Torah becomes something that's a haze in the back of your mind and not really remembered, like we said. So it could be it applies even today. And the Balatanya in his Shulchan Aruch says that this prohibition and this idea of being Mischaya Benafsha applies even today. In the Gemara in Yuma, it says that a person who forgets his learning, aside from being liable for his own life, it causes galus for his children. And the Marsha says that it depends on what we're talking about learning. If it's talking about learning that you received in tradition, there's a certain learning that you don't come to on your own. You have to receive it because of it's a tradition in learning. Okay? Halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. You can't come to that on your own. That is what's called mischai benafsho. Because if you forget that, there's no way of regaining it. If it's something that you came on your own, so you can go through the process and get it again, there it's what's called only causes galus to your children, because your Torah is not something settled, so it causes an aura of unsettlement, and the male it affects even coming generations. In addition, again, the things that you were mechadish, right, that you came to new ideas which maybe you won't come to again, so there it's more serious. If it's something that you can either pick up a book and learn, or you can come to with your own seichel again, right? Then it's not as serious. There's always a conflict between learning new things and reviewing what you learned. We're saying now that if you don't review, you're going to forget. In Tells, in the yeshiva, They used to say one time is like no time. Two times learning something is the first time. And you're really supposed to learn something four times minimum, so it'll remember it. And if you don't learn it 100 times, right, it's not 100% in your memory. And even 101 times is a significant difference than 100. And it, based on what we said before, that forgetting is not just forgetting it and not remembering it, but it's where it doesn't become something that you'll act upon. It's in the back of your mind. It's not in the forefront of your mind. So they say, the Gemara says, Eino Dome, Shon the Pirko May upon him. There's no comparison of somebody who learns something 100 times, the Shono Pirko May upon him Ve'echad, who reviews it 101 times. That's a simple meaning. That extra time makes a difference. Okay. However, some say if that's what it means, it should say differently. It says it should say Shon the Pirko May of Ve'echad upon him 101 times. Not May upon him Ve'echad 100 times plus one. They say what it means is like this. A person can learn something 100 times, but he doesn't realize he's learning together with God. It's God's Torah. But a person who learns Me'apamim 100 times, Ve'echad, with together, the Echad, with God, then it'll make an impression. Which brings us to the last thing, aside from the list of things I wanted to mention.
Reviewing, how can you prevent reviewing all the time without getting bored?
So the truth is that when it comes to Torah, every time you review,
it's something new.
You find something new in it, right? A new idea, whatever. We're talking about deep things. So reviewing it over and over again, right, you discover new aspects of it, a new point, a new question, or whatever. But there is a limit. If a person just reviews what he's learned, he'll never learn anything new. And there is an idea that a person should know the whole Torah, at least the body of Torah that there exists. So how do you balance the two things out?
Different perspectives, from different angles.
Meaning what? Yeah, but you can learn one thing and review it a million times and have different angles, but you'll never know anything else, right? And there's so much to learn. So a person has to balance out what he learns new, as long as he hasn't really gotten digested and set what he's learned, he should review it. Once he has that, yes, in time it may become dim, may forget it, he has to review again, but now you have to go on and learn new things. There's an idea of knowing and covering ground and knowing a lot, and there's an idea of constantly reviewing and going into different aspects and angles and deeper or whatever. Both are important. In yeshivas, they have usually a iyun seder, where they learn deeply, and they could cover maybe a page in a week or 2 weeks or a month. And then they have another seder where they cover ground, where they learn page after page quickly without delving into it, without asking too many questions, just to get the information. Because if you don't have, the Gemara has a question, who is better? Person who has a lot of knowledge of sources, but he's not so sharp. Or a person who's very sharp can ask questions again, but doesn't have a lot of knowledge of sources. In the end, the Gemara says, the one who has the knowledge of sources, he's called the Sinai. He's the guy who has all of the information from Sinai. The other guy is called an Oker Horim. He picks up mountains and crushes them and really goes into the depth of back and forth of discussion or whatever. So the Gemara's answer is that the person who's the Sinai is superior, because the person with the sharp mind can't accomplish anything unless you have the sources. So you have to ask the sources from somebody. But if you have the sources, at least you have something in your hand. So you have to balance both out and try to learn and cover ground and know a lot of sources and information. At the same time, not to remain just surface, shallow, but to review things and go into them and deeper and deeper. Okay, you have to do
so
both.
Covering,
you have to go deeper and
ground.
Cover ground.
Covering more ground. Gives you a perspective for the thing that you're going to learn deeply, do you see it in context of other things?
Right, exactly. Sometimes if you don't know, you know, the information, you could ask questions or whatever, and the next page, it answers your question because you had the wrong information. Okay, the question we didn't answer, which I mentioned last week, which from some of what we've been speaking about, we can give the answer. The Ramban says that this pasuk is a mitzvah of remembering Maimed Har Sinai. Just like you have to remember the Exodus from Egypt, and you have to remember Kriyas Yamsuf, you have to remember the giving of the Torah at Sinai. Okay? It's a mitzvah to remember what we do, just like Yetzias Mitzrayim, a person has to feel like he was there. And in fact, we learn from here also that when you learn Torah, it should be as if you're standing at Har Sinai listening to God speaking. And therefore, it has to be learned be'emo, v'yira, with awe and fear and trembling, just like it was at Har Sinai. So the Ramban says this sentence is a source for another mitzvah in the Torah, just like there's a mitzvah to remember the Exodus, the mitzvah to remember Maimon Har Sinai. So they ask on this Ramban from this Mishnah. The Mishnah here says it's not a mitzvah of remembering Maimon Har Sinai. It's a mitzvah not to forget all your learning. It has nothing to do with Maimon Har Sinai. Even though the pasuk itself seems to be like the Ramban. It says, Raki shomer lecho shmur nafshimot, pen tishkach esadvorim asheroi necho, and fen yosuru milvavcha kol yimechayecha, yom asher amadeto lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorim. You'll forget the day you stood at Har Sinai. So the truth is that the sentence itself seems to say what the Ramban says. But this Mishnah says that's not the intent. The intent is a person who forgets anything from his learning. So one possible answer, which I think the Ramban himself may intimate, is the following. A person has to remember Maimon Har Sinai just as if he was there, just like by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just like every generation, a person has to consider himself as if he personally went on Mitzrayim. You have to consider yourself as if you were at Har Sinai. That could be even better, easier, because all our souls were at Har Sinai. Right? The entire Jewish people, for all time, our roots of our souls were at Har Sinai. In fact, there was some Hasidish Rebbe who said that he remembers who was standing in front of him and who was behind him at Har Sinai. Okay. That is, right, once said to somebody, haven't seen you for so long time, somebody remembers saying that we never saw each other. The only time we saw each other was at Har Sinai. In any case, so therefore, that's what the Ramban says. This Mishnah tells me the following. Do you know what will cause a person to forget learning? If he doesn't learn it in such a way as if he's standing at Har Sinai. If you were at Har Sinai and you heard the Aseres HaDibros, I guarantee you'll never forget them for your whole life. The way you heard them, you heard God speak, it was with thunder and lightning and the shofar. It was so awe-inspiring. Something like that you never forget. Right? It's something that makes an impression on you. Things that happen, you know, just like this, is possible to forget. So the Ramban says the real mitzvah is every time you learn something, right, you should remember Maimed Har Sinai, and you should learn that as if God is selling it to you now, just like he gave the Aseres HaDibros in Har Sinai. If you do that, you'll never forget your learning. If you forget your learning, it's a sign that you didn't learn it as if you were standing at Har Sinai. So the two things go together. What gives a person the ability to forget is that he didn't learn it in a way that he's remembering Maimon Har Sinai. It's not just to remember what happens. Remember, when you're learning Torah, it should be so impressive as if you're hearing it from God at that time. In fact, I think the Rambam, in his commentary to the Mishnah, sometimes starts, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. God said, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi quoted him. So when you learn something in Torah, you're learning God's word. He's speaking to you. So if you learn it like that, then you'll never forget it. But if you forget it, it's a siman that you didn't learn it like that. So the two things are really interrelated.
Yeah, but people that have difficulty hearing, let's say, but if they make an extreme effort to listen carefully, then they'll retain it for sure, positively. That's what I have. I know when I pay attention, put a lot of effort to pay attention, to listen carefully, and I retain it with my, with the effort in it.
Hey, I'm flattered, because I see that you heard what I said, yeah. So you're commenting on it. Yeah. That means you put in effort and you consider it important. Thank you. Okay.
I once heard, as I once told you, a rabbi say that how can we remember everything because there's so much? So he said, when you learn in order to teach, you can remember it, to give it over. If you learn it just for yourself, you can review and review and review, you will never remember it.
Okay, and that's part of what we're going to say in a second.
Oh.
It says that the students of Rabbi Akiva, okay, three things it says about them, what their sin was. One was lo nagu kavod zebezeh, with simple meaning they didn't treat each other with the proper respect. Another one is ein ehem tzara b'torasam, they were selfish with their Torah. And the third one was they didn't fill the whole Eretz Yisrael with Torah. They didn't spread their Torah. So the question is, which of those is their sin? Thirdly, why did they die during Sefiras HaOmer? Right? And we mark their death by mourning them in Sefiras HaOmer. There are a lot of tragedies that happen in Jewish history. We don't mourn for them at all. Why here 33 days in Sefiras HaOmer? So the kitzur, I was thinking the following. It says that Sefiras HaOmer is a preparation for the giving of the Torah. Now, you can't prepare for something you don't know what it is. If you have orientation for a course that you want to take, and you want to prepare for the course, so what they usually do is they give you a syllabus of the course, a small booklet that outlines the course, and you go through it and you prepare for the course. This is what we're going to learn. But they didn't know what the Torah was. How do you prepare for something you have no idea what it is? How do I know they didn't know what the Torah was? Because later on, when they said Nasa v'Nishma, and they said, before we hear, we'll do. We accept it sight unseen, unheard. If they knew what it was, what was the big deal? Must be. They didn't know. And still, they accepted it, even not knowing what it was. So that means they didn't know. So how do you prepare for something you know what it is? What were they preparing? So the answer is that there's a very big difference between Chochmah and Torah. The Chazal say, Im yomru lachem Chochmah bagoyim tamin. If somebody tells you that wisdom exists by the nations of the world, believe them. Torah bagoyim al tamin. But if somebody tells you Torah exists by the nations of the world, don't believe them. What does that mean? That a goy can't learn Torah? So if it means he's not allowed to, fine, but goyim do things they're not allowed to do. So if somebody tells you that Torah exists by the goyim, don't believe him. Why not? So there's a goy learning Torah. And goyim do learn Torah. If it means that he can't do it, he's incapable, that's ridiculous. A goy could open an art scroll, Mishnayis, and make head and tails of it. I'm sure of it. In fact, there were goyim who learned Mishnah, and wrote a commentary on it. Danby wrote a commentary on the Mishnah. A nice commentary. The priests learn Gemara in their seminaries. So what does it mean? What it means, I think, is the following. Bertram Russell was a professor of ethics in City College in the 1940s. And during that time of his life, he was not ethical according to the standards of society in America. He was a communist. He was a advocate of free love, didn't believe in marriage. And the ethics committee of the college, in those days, the goyim still had some standards and values. They called him in and they said, Professor Russell, we have a problem with you. You teach ethics in our institution, you're not ethical. He said, what's the problem? So 20 years ago, I taught mathematics in a college in England. And I happened to teach geometry. Not once did the ethics committee of that college call me in and say, Professor Russell, we have a problem with you. You teach geometry and you're not a square, a circle, or a parallelogram. So I don't have to be what I teach, I just have to teach it. I don't have to be a plane to teach geometry, and I don't have to be ethical to teach ethics. I just have to teach a subject. Meaning that that's chachma. Chachma is something that you possess. It's not something that has to make an impression. It can. There are many fine non-Jews who were wise in certain areas and made an impression on them. They were fine, outstanding people. But it didn't have to. You can be a nuclear physicist and be a rotten person, and your personality doesn't detract from your chachma, and your chachma doesn't add anything to your personality. Two separate things. You can be the president of the United States, right, and be a bum, and that doesn't affect your being a politician, and your being a politician doesn't affect your life. There have been plenty of presidents that were not very ethical. So the same thing goes for everything. There are plenty of authors in history that were out and right bums, but they wrote good books. That's chachma. Torah is not like that. Torah is compared to fire. Ma'esh osaroshim, af Torah osaroshim. Fire makes an impression. Torah has to make an impression. And if it doesn't make an impression on the person who's learning it, it's not Torah. It's Torah means to guide, horah. If it doesn't guide you, it's not Torah. What is it? It's wisdom. So you can have something that appears to be Torah, sounds like Torah, smells like Torah, but it's not Torah, it's only wisdom. How do you know? Did it make an impression on the person who's learning it? So there can be people who spout Torah, but it makes no impression. There's in colleges, they have Judaic studies given by people who have no connection to observing the Torah. But they have the wisdom of Torah, but it's not Torah. It's just wisdom that looks like Torah, just like stage fire looks like fire. It's not real fire. So that's what Torah has to be, has to make an impression, right? In order to make an impression, you have to want to share it with other people too. It's part of it also, right? Not keep it just to yourself, because part of the mitzvah is to spread your Torah. So what they were preparing was to be the kind of people, that's why Derech Eretz called Mother Torah. You have to have certain basic behavior pattern to be able to make the Torah part of you. Because if you don't behave like a mensch, then you're an animal. Torah wasn't given to animals. A dog and a cat can never become Torah people. That's why we call Tamidei Chachamim. We're not called Chachamim, wise people. We're called students of the Chachma. You have to be a student of the wisdom where it makes an impression, not a Chacham, a person who's wise. So that was what they were preparing. If you're asbestos, Torah won't make an impression. It won't be like the fire. So you have to make yourself a person who's inflammable, who can become ignited with Torah. If you don't do that, then you can't have Torah. The most you can do is accept wisdom. They couldn't have been a Kabbalah Satorah if they didn't first work on their midos, in order that they should have the right Derech Eretz, that now the Torah can make an impression. So that was what we were counting the Sefira. And that's why it says that Rabbi Akiva said that the Ohavta Re'acha Kamocha Zeklal Gogel Batorah. If you don't love your neighbor as yourself and you don't live properly with other people, then you'll never have Torah, because you won't have the proper behavior that the Torah can make an impression, become a living Sefer Torah. And that's what a Talmud Chacham is, a living Sefer Torah. The Gemara says that people are foolish. They stand up for the Torah that comes out of the Aron Kodesh, but they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. The Torah in the Aron Kodesh is a dead Sefer Torah. Its purpose is to teach living people to become living Sefer Torah. They stand up for the dead Sefer Torah, don't stand up for the living Sefer Torah. So here is, and that's the idea of Sefiras HaOmer. You can't prepare for something that you don't know what it is unless you're not preparing the subject, you're preparing yourself to be able to be the kind of person that the wisdom of Torah can make an impression on you and become Torah. So if that's the case, here are the students of Rabbi Akiva, who are supposed to be the ones that would pass on the oral tradition to the next generation. The purpose of the oral tradition, why did God give the Torah all written? Because then, one of the reasons is you could curl up with a book and think you learned Torah. But you can't. You have to learn it from somebody who's living it. Because you can't learn from a Rebbe who doesn't live it. So you see that the Torah has to be alive. It has to be part of your life. It can't just be something that you possess. It has to be something that possesses you. So here are the students of Rabbi Akiva, in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer, which teaches me this lesson, that you have to be the kind of person that Torah can make an impression. They have Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe, who taught them that the Ohavta Re'acha Kamocha Zeklal Gadol BaTorah, that you can't have Torah unless you have the right midos, and you have, what's it called, they're supposed to be giving over Torah Shebal Peh, which the whole idea of the oral Torah is that should be part of you, not just wisdom that you get from a book. And Lo Noagu Kavod Zebazeh means they didn't treat each other with the full amount of respect that a living Sefer Torah. They respected each other, probably way better than we do. But they didn't look at each other as living Sefer Torah. That much respect not. And therefore, they had a very narrow vision of what Torah was. It was just knowledge. And therefore, they didn't fill Eretz Yisrael with Torah. They didn't think that Torah had to become part of the whole Jewish people. They didn't want to teach it. All goes together. And during Sfiras HaOmer, which teaches us this lesson, that Torah is not just wisdom. When you prepare, you're preparing yourself. You're not preparing the subject. So they couldn't fulfill their purpose, so they died. And what they couldn't teach in their lifetime, they're teaching now through their death by us mourning them. We're not mourning the tragedy of their death. We're mourning the lesson that the fact that they died teaches us what Sfiras HaOmer is all about. What are we preparing? So what they couldn't teach us in their lifetime, now the rabbis instituted this 33 days as a kapara for them, that they're teaching us through their death what they could have taught us and when they were alive.
Can I add something?
Yeah, except I have to get to another shiur, so I don't want to make...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.